This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Durham is a city on the rise. Over the past decade or so, it has established a reputation for change and rapid development. But not far away from the city's booming downtown and the repurposed factories is a part of the city that is dealing with high crime rates and the loss of young men due to violence in prison. It is a tale of two cities, one prosperous and open to tourists and transplants, the other isolated and dealing with violence and drugs. Photojournalist Justin Cook began exposing himself to the other side of Durham in 2005 as a journalism student at UNC Chapel Hill. 10 years later, he has become a part of that community, and he's been able to share what he has seen with his photography. He's got an online magazine, or used an online magazine, to expose that photography, The Bitter Southerner, and he has an article entitled Made in Durham, Exploring the Effects of Homicide, Incarceration, and Urban Renewal in Durham, North Carolina Across a Decade. And Justin joins me now on the State of Things. Good to have you here, Justin.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us how you got involved in documenting these issues.
Well, it was 10 years ago this year. I was a student at UNC. I would think I was 21, 22 years old. So, yeah, 22. It started off from doing ride-alongs to Durham police, making pictures of the things I had seen with them. That was sort of a limited sort of experience. Exposed me to a lot of things. But after doing a lot of that for almost a year, trying to figure out, like, what's the other side of the story beyond cops and robbers, beyond the war on drugs, beyond all these other things. And that interest has stuck with me for a decade now.
What was your expectation? What were you hoping to do with those photographs as a young undergrad going into those rides? What was your thought?
Well, our classes at UNC, we had these advanced photojournalism classes. We were responsible for doing long-term picture stories through the semester. So the stuff the Durham Police was a part of that. That transformed into being interested in the other side of things, like how are victims affected by gun violence in Durham.
What was it that you saw that made that transition for you?
I mean, I think it was just hearing the stories of grief from the survivors of gun violence. And I don't just mean people who were actually shot, but the families left in the wake of suffering one of the greatest indignities you could possibly suffer, and that's losing a son or a child to gun violence in Durham.
That's a far different level than going on a police ride-along and shooting pictures out the window with an armed officer next to you, right? What made you decide to have those conversations?
I just feel like it's our responsibility as photographers to just really dig beneath the surface. I think that if you want to do journalism that has impact, you have to immerse yourself in ways that are uncomfortable. If you want to impact change that way, you have to be willing to change yourself. And that's sort of the experience I sought connecting with people that were sort of on the receiving end of all this.
How did it change you? Clearly it did. What were your ideas about those neighborhoods and those activities going in, and how have your ideas changed as a result of what you've done?
Well, I think that having not been exposed to those things before, I had a lot of preconceived ideas what was going on there. You hear about neighborhoods like Southside and areas in East Durham, and people are like, oh, there's so much crime there and there's a lot of shootings and stuff like that. Yeah, there's some of those things are going on there, but there's also just a lot of ordinary life going on. And I feel like those are some of the most interesting things to photograph.
You have followed this topic extensively since that first ride along, and you've done other work in other places. We're talking about Durham here because that's what you began documenting. How similar and how typical is Durham in some ways to other places you've looked at?
I think Durham is a microcosm of the American story. Part of my career is a newspaper photographer. The different internships I've done around the country, whether it's in Dallas, Texas, or Tampa, Florida, or one of my favorite places, Flint, Michigan, which is a place that has extreme economic issues, poverty, crime like that. But it's also a place on the rise now. You see a lot of those trends everywhere, whether it's the incarceration rates, the disparity between some of the neighborhoods in terms of the economics, I think that's it's become part of our American fabric. But I think we're at a point now where how do we address these things is one Durham as opposed to this idea of two Durhams, two communities.
Justin Cook is a photojournalist who began documenting the other Durham about a decade ago. He documented some of the grief, as he talked about, and talked with many of the victims' families. One of the mothers that Justin photographed was Jocelyn Sims. Jocelyn's son, Ray Sims, was murdered on May 21, 2005. His murderer was never caught. Jocelyn joins us now to talk about the effects of murdered children in her community and her own story. Hello, Jocelyn. Good to see you again.
Hello, how you doing? I'm glad to be here.
And I should say we know each other from our encounters at vigils through the Religious Coalition for Nonviolent Durham, which is headed by Marcia Owen. Marcia is the director of the Religious Coalition for Nonviolent Durham. That organization holds vigils for family members of murdered individuals, as well as finds assistance for people reentering society after doing prison time. We have worked together, Marcia, on projects, and I've been to a number of your vigils. And welcome back to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having us.
Jocelyn, tell us about Ray. What kind of a man was he?
Well, Ray, he wasn't perfect, but he had four children, and his three oldest ones were living with him. He had to by different women, but he had the oldest three was living with him, and he was a happy. I mean, he loved his family. I mean, he used to come over my mother's house, and he would go lay beside my mother and talk to her before he come see me or speak to anybody. Would pat all his brothers on the butt, and they'd chase each other. Do anything for his children, his mother, anybody. He just loved his family and stuff. And the day he got killed, it's like I relive it every day. And it's like I say, it'd be 10 years next month, and I still live it. His youngest daughter just turned 10 years old yesterday, and she was a month old. She turned a month old the day Ray was murdered. And people do say things like, well, you'll get over it. You never get over it. You learn to live with it. You learn to accept it. But you never get over it. And you still cry, because I still cry silently. You don't cry around your friends because you feel like they don't want to hear it. And at the same time, you hurting so bad that you want to, like, you feel like nobody care. And I honestly felt like that until I met Justin and Marsha. And then they introduced me to other people, and I felt like they do care. And then I started really getting pissed off. I said, well, it's happening in my neighborhood. But my neighborhood is not the one that's caring. They're not the one that, you know, they say, well, it didn't happen to us, or it's not in my neighborhood. But it's in everybody's neighborhood now. There is no so-called safe area anymore. You could be in your car, and somebody could shoot at somebody, and you end up getting killed. The churches are not getting involved. It's nice to have your little Sunday sermon. But, hey, this is happening in your territory, your area. Go out and talk to the people on the streets. They'll sow the soul. They need saving more than the ones that's in the church.
You've come to that understanding now, but originally when Marcia suggested and asked you if you wanted to have a vigil, what was your first response to that?
To be honest, I didn't. I didn't even want to talk to Justin. I didn't, you know, I was had so much anger in me. All I thought about, my baby is gone, you know. He's never coming back. And I kept seeing him on that table with these tubes and stuff in them, then seeing him lifted, put down in the ground. And I felt like they were just doing something for them. But when I first talked to Justin and he started talking to me, I realized, I said, you know what, he don't sound like the rest of these guys. A lot of the reporters, they would call and say, Miss Sims, how do you feel that your son died? And approached me like that. I had a good friend of mine who was murdered like a couple inches from his mama's front door. And the reporter took that mic and went right to her face. So how did it feel to see your son's body laying out there? You don't do that. First of all, my child, he's not just a murder victim. He's a father. He's a brother. He's a child. He's human. Do your story, but humanize him at the same time. Don't degrade him because he's dead. When someone get killed, they go straight to, hey, what can we find bad about them? But they don't never print the good part. They're just whatever's bad about them.
Well, they do sometimes. It depends on who that victim
is.
There are times when that victim gets a lot of good press.
That's why I said, like, Justin, we went and talked to some more people, you know, tried to tell them how to do this. And then Marsha actually do the vigil, and I said, yes, and we did. And I saw all these people, both black and white, that I have never seen before, crying over my child. And it made me feel even more, they do care. But we got to stand up as a community, because if not, this community, I'm not talking about just North Durham, East Durham, I'm talking about all of Durham, is going to be a failure. And you can build all the condos you want to and everything, but it's going to be a failure because you got nobody standing up against this violence. I'm tired of little children being buried, tired of children seeing their fathers and mothers buried. I'm tired of walking down the street seeing the grave where my son was buried at.
Well, let me ask you, Marcia Owen, about the vigils, because I think that is one way to address this divide and bring people from other communities into a neighborhood and share that grief. Tell us about the vigils. What happens and why do you do them?
Well, it's very simple. It's just being present with one another. It's, as you said, when you read the paper and there's been a murder, oftentimes the victim is exposed in a manner that I don't think is especially compassionate. So a vigil, one, reintroduces that victim in a manner that upholds his or her dignity, that affirms the unity and our common bond. And it's an opportunity to bear witness, really, to the goodness and the peace that does exist in this community, and to recognize that we really do belong to one another. And one of the things in reflecting on when people say, I love Durham. Well, when you love Durham, you love the people in Durham. And when people suffer, it is the nature of love to go to that. It's like a magnet. It's just, I think, a very reasonable, loving response to a very immeasurably devastating and heartbreaking situation.
Well, Jocelyn, what was it like? You said initially you thought, well, I don't want any part of this. These people, strangers coming to me and wanting to talk about my grief. When that vigil took place, and I think you described it a minute ago, what was it like for you to see strangers?
Like I said, the only people I knew there was like my son that came and stuff. And then I saw Marsha and all these other people. And I'm like, I don't know them. You know, they're here doing this for themselves. But then after I talked to them and when they embraced me and they prayed for my baby that they didn't know, never met, didn't know anything about him. And after that, and they invited me to their circles, their healing circles, and I felt, yes, they honestly care about my child. They care about what I'm going through. Both of them did. And that's why right now I consider them my family. Because that's what we do. You have to embrace somebody in a situation like that. And a lot of people do feel the way I do. Like, I turn around and say, you know what? They don't know me, you know, so I'm not going over there, you know, just going to say this and that. Or even worse, well, that didn't happen to me, so I'm not, you know. It don't have to happen to you. Think about it. I never thought it was going to happen to me, but my son is dead. And now I am going to meetings to represent him. I'm doing this to keep his memory alive so that his death was not in vain. I'm doing this so more children don't have to go through what my grandchildren go through.
Well, Marcia Owen, it seems to me that another way to look at this divide is the way we've professionalized our relationship with the city. If you're getting your understanding of a homicide through people like us in the media, who then have absolute power to describe that aspect of your life we want. And if we want to talk about drug dealing, we can. If we talk about you being a promising college student, a brave soldier, we can do that. So there are murder victims and violent people who suffer violent death who get a good eulogy in the press and some who don't. So you professionalize that. You don't know them personally. You haven't heard Jocelyn's story because you weren't there at the vigil. We also professionalize our protection. If I don't happen to live in a neighborhood where those challenges are present every day, I can allow things to get worse, and I can put police between me and the danger. And if you're facing that as a professional police officer, you're bound to adopt some kinds of procedures and practices that ultimately might end up badly, that I might object to, and we're seeing more evidence of that kind of policing on the street. But it seems to me that what you're saying is that we need not blame the police when that thing happens in that neighborhood we never go to. We need to take some personal responsibility for what goes on in the neighborhood.
That's exactly right. And I'd like to say that actually the media with the vigil ministry are best friends. That we do get calls from reporters saying, after an interview, please see this family. So there's a lot of exceptions, especially I'd like to do a shout out to Dawn Bumgarner Vaughn at the Herald Sun. She's magnificent. We do. I think one of the things that I've learned from knowing Jocelyn and so many moms and dads and brothers and sisters who have had a loved one taken by violence is that the suffering, there's another sort of suffering, and that's the suffering of indifference from our community. And I was a part of that. Let the courts deal with it. Let the police deal with it. Let the institutions deal with it. Well, what the institutions can't do is ask that crit. Well, they could, but they can't love. And they should be asking the question that we can do in relationship to one another, which is, how do we repair the harm? Jocelyn's son's killer was never arrested. My friend Tony Williams' killer was never arrested. So there will be no court until that happens. But there's plenty to be done in the meantime, and that is to address the needs that violence has created and to ask, whose obligation is it to address the harm that violence has created?
We're talking about building whole communities today on the State of Things. My guest, Marcia Owen, director of the Religious Coalition for a Nonviolent Durham. Jocelyn Sims is the mother of a murder victim in Durham. Justin Cook is a photojournalist whose work appeared in The Bitter Southerner. Justin, how do you see the trend? I mean, we talk about Durham a lot. It's in the news a lot, both for the policing and this kind of thing. You've been around a little bit. Is Durham more advanced in handling this kind of thing? Does anybody have answers for how to bring these communities together?
I think Durham is full of people working towards the goal you're talking about, bringing people together. I think one of the things I'm hearing right now just on this show from Marcia and from Jocelyn, and I can echo myself, is that there are people like us that are – we feel like our role is to bear witness, and we kind of do it in our own way. Marcia does it through vigils. Jocelyn does it by telling her story. I do it by trying to photograph – things that are going on in a community that I guess at first blush isn't my community, but start to think that it is our community. It's our community. It's Durham. We together. I think making pictures that take people on a visceral journey, an emotional journey. I think it shakes them out of accepting these things, because I think accepting what's going on almost makes you complicit in it from a community standpoint.
Jocelyn, going forward, what would you like to see happen, and where do you think we should focus our attention?
I think we need to focus our attention basically right now on the jobs for these young men, because a lot of them, they go to jail, and when you get locked up and you come out, 9 or 10 times, they got to pay back their probation fee or whatever, or they got back child support they got to pay, and if they don't pay it, they're going to jail. So what they're going to do, they can't find a job because of their record. And people say, oh, there's plenty of jobs. There might be, but look how many people are out of work. And then when you turn around, you can't work, what they're going to do? They're going to sell drugs, or they're going to rob somebody. Then they're right back in jail, and the record is getting worse. And then they just getting madder and madder. And there you go, the guns and everything. There's more guns out in the street. We need to do something to try to get jobs for these young men, build more places for these young men to go besides the corners. Because we had a basketball thing where we used to live at. And it was right there at the school. But the kids used to go across there and play basketball every day. They stopped it. They put a fence around. They didn't want them climbing the fence. We said, where are these kids going to go? That's not their problem. So the kids kept climbing over the fence, going to play basketball. They turned around and got to know what they did. They took the basketball thing down. I mean, you got to have somewhere for these kids to go to play, some place for these kids to really go learn. And if they don't have job experience, teach them something.
Well, I want to thank all of you for being on the program. I wish we had more time, but I don't. Jocelyn Sims is the mother of Ray Sims, who was murdered in 2005. Marcia Owen, the director of the Religious Coalition for a Nonviolent Durham. Justin Cook is a Durham photographer who documented that side of Durham, and his findings and photos can be found at our website, stateofthings.org, and The Bitter Southerner. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it, and thank you for having us.
Just ahead, we're going to talk about films that are hard to categorize and find out why anybody cares. We're going to do that on The State of Things. Please stay with us.